Hey.
Welcome! I hope you can see this. I hope we're live.
I think, yeah, we got ones in the chat. Are we live?
We've been suffering terrible technical difficulties tonight.
Our soundboard literally started smoking. That was a first.
Yeah, that was a first.
That was
for
a first.
Sure.
Don't know how that happened.
So the fact that we're live.
It's still working. We're using the smoking soundboard.
It's a miracle. Yeah. So if we could burst into flames any second.
That's how committed we are to this podcast is our equipment literally burning, but we needed to get you this show. We didn't care who lived, who died. And someone did die. Kevin did not make it through that week.
Kevin didn't make
frail
it.
Frail man. I lived. He didn't.
He's weak.
Sorry.
Kevin's genes are weak. His children will not live into adulthood.
Nope.
Should he choose to have them, but I hope he doesn't, because that would, you know.
We don't need another one.
Sad day. We don't need another Kevin.
We had a hilarious opening bit about Pride weekend and Friday the 13th. Is that going to go in the recorded?
That's on Sean. Let me just give my two cents. Before we get to the final verdict, it was this whole bit, about the event this weekend, and it just. Lots of great segments to it. My two cents is, from all angles, hilarious. Sean here has been saying, he may or may not include it. But basically, without saying what the bit was, it involved, a rainbow-colored mask, kind of like in support of the weekend and stuff like that. It was kind of, I thought, creative.
The streamers were a nice touch, like the way they flowed in the wind and everything.
Yeah. So, anyway, now the final verdict, Sean is going to deliver. Will the bit stay or will it not? Yeah. It was only for us. It didn't go out live because it wasn't working, but it was recorded. So, Sean, keep the footage or erase the footage.
Oh. Keep or toss.
Oh, I'm definitely going to keep it. Yeah. 100%. Okay. No, it's cool. No, it's great.
Well,
I'm trying to
feel
say
good.
That I support Pride Weekend. You just keep, twisting my words around saying I don't and then call me a conservative.
We did call him conservative.
We did.
I'd rather be fucking dead.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Now you can't
We might have some conservative fans out there. What
we do have.
No.
I'm not liberal either, people.
You're isolating.
I'm just me.
Both sides.
Let me be me.
You're isolating. Oh.
Both. This is how the empire
all right.
falls.
Don't label me. I'm a millennial. I don't like labels.
Here's what I think we should do.
The whole empire falls.
I think you should put a disclaimer that you're not conservative. You're not liberal. You're nothing.
You're Sean.
I'm probably more liberal.
You're Sean.
You support everybody.
Yeah.
But the bit was a joke.
Mm.
So I think once that stipulation disclaimer is out there, we can just let it run.
Okay, here we go.
All right, now we're back.
Nice.
And that should have a theme song in it, too.
Beautiful.
So now we can start the podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I think that's a perfect compromise.
I think that was a very good compromise, and I give Sean a lot of credit for finding.
Yeah, good
you
on
know,
you.
He found the middle ground politically. We're not going to get into that, mm-hmm. but he found the middle ground here,
good
too.
Good on you, Sean.
Here's the thing, though.
Okay.
I used to think I was in the middle. I thought that, and now I'm not so sure. I'm watching the Sacha Baron Cohen show, and I'm thinking, I don't know. You can't be in the middle anymore.
Is that out?
They ruined it.
It's like premiering right now.
Ooh,
yeah. I heard that it dropped. Like I saw people online saying they already saw it, but it's coming out now or today.
It premieres on TV, I think, tonight, Sunday night. But I think it's on their app or something already, or something like that. But
Showtime.
Yeah, the clip that I saw. Oh man, he's back.
It's fucking great.
Can't believe it. Oh my god,
it's so funny how you. You watch him, and I've seen him do this bit of fooling people forever, and I still get so uncomfortable. Like, oh, they're so fucking dumb for not knowing. I mean, I don't know.
But you know,
well, the thing is, So my take on Sacha Baron Cohen, what he's always done is he finds really unlikable stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And then he approaches people. He's very nice, but automatically these people are like, you know, predisposed to not like the person. And they think they're smarter than the person. You know, he's a foreigner, or he's, you know, like a wannabe gangster, yeah. or, you know, he's this like really effeminate gay European in America, mm-hmm. Especially like a few years ago at the time. But I feel like with the new segments that I saw, he's no longer a character that you inherently dislike, or that the people who he's interviewing inherently dislike. So it's a little bit different now. Now he's kind of like buddying up to them. Like, I'm on your side.
Oh, that angle.
Which was like an interesting new take on it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
other than that, same old like show. That yeah. It was just like the Ollie
this,
G
show. It seems like this one's more intent on exposing really kind of what they're thinking, as opposed to like, I'm going to annoy you. Yeah, yeah, like you were, you know.
Maybe people are so guarded that he needs to pretend to be on their side. Yeah, to really open up.
But either way, it's great. I mean, that's awesome. But I've heard too, though. You know, because I think with what's been released and what people have said about it, they think it's kind of going to be like kind of one sided politically or whatever. But I keep hearing that Bernie Sanders got tricked.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
like,
true.
But here's the thing: like, okay, maybe that's true. I personally like Bernie Sanders. I like Bernie Sanders, but
pretty easy to trick, though. I
sure, yeah, he's old.
He's fucking old.
But my thought here is like, okay, so maybe you did trick Bernie Sanders, but the ones that I saw, you tricked these politicians to tell the camera and the world to give 3-year-olds guns because 3-year-olds have this special ability in this gene called Blink-182. They got people to say this, and yeah. I haven't seen it, but I'm just guessing that they didn't get Bernie Sanders to say that. That's my thought. I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe they did.
They're all politicians, man. They're all.
If he tricked,
the same thing.
You know, Bernie Sanders, then I want to see it. I'm not so biased where it's like, oh my God, you can't fool Bernie Sanders.
No.
I can't believe he did it.
If you get somebody to expose some stupid idea that they have, yeah. Then let's see it. You know, I want to know what that person thinks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that's the beauty
of the
show.
It's a comedy show at the end of
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a comedy yeah. show. So I love the fact that it probably will get people pissed off because yeah. Politics. Yeah. People are so like edgy.
Yeah.
Whenever you bring
especially,
up that shit,
yeah. especially these days, it's way worse than it used to be.
It couldn't be a better time to do that
show.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But it's so funny how like people. I saw Sarah Palin on people were saying like linking to her Twitter, like she's like you know yeah. calling him out, saying it's all bullshit. It's like, well, first of all, then he got her, and second, now you're just promoting his show, which
yeah.
you don't want people
exactly.
to watch. But now
oh, she's in it.
I'm sure. Yeah, oh, I think that he got her too.
Oh, she was the first thing. She put out this big thing about like I was duped.
Yeah,
and it is not cool what he did. And this is what happened, and it's like okay, cool. I want to watch this
great
10 times
promotion.
More now.
Yeah, yeah but yeah, great. You promoted the show, you dummy.
What if Bernie Sanders liked to fuck?
Oh, no, he better not.
I'm
if I hear
that
out
there.
Yeah. I'm not
when I did What If Trump Liked to Fuck, I saw all this stuff online. Like, people were trying to read into that. Like, what's the political message here? And it was like, that's a statement with no context.
With no meaning.
Political
you know?
Satire.
The fact that people
humor.
Were spending hours trying to decipher the code, that was
that,
the, that
much,
was the
man.
Real joke.
That pretty much sums everything up.
Yeah.
Well,
that's all.
I saw some comedian
everything up right now.
Said that on Twitter, all they said was Trump! Exclamation mark. And he just did that and just looked at the comments because it was just nonstop writing. So I was like, wait, is that a good thing, that exclamation mark? Or was that like, you hate him? What does this mean? It was like,
speaking of all this shit, earlier this week there was this video going around Facebook that I saw where George Lopez like took a water bottle and he pretended to pee on Trump's Walk of
oh,
Fame star.
Oh, yeah.
Did you okay. see that?
Yeah.
No.
But
they blurred it out.
Yeah,
so
I
it
saw
actually
that.
Looked like he was taking a whiz on it. Okay. And then Fox News, I saw on the Fox News Facebook, they posted, George Lopez takes a water bottle and pretends to pee on the Trump Walk of Fame. And all these comments were like, send this Mexican back to where he came from and kill him on the way. And let's get dogs to take a shit on George Lopez's Walk of Fame. And I just saw like, dude poured a water bottle out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Like you're acting like he actually pissed on the
yeah.
street.
Well, some people maybe thought he did.
I guess
I don't know. But
yeah, people get so
Facebook.
When I saw that video and I didn't have any context for it, but I just thought he would not.
whip his dick
pull
out?
Pull his dick out and pee. Yeah, no. There's like a crowd of people and cameras like, you guys mind? Okay. You know,
he ain't a real comedian.
He wouldn't do that.
A real comedian would whip it out.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. He'd go, you look sad, and he'd pull his dick out.
Yeah, Bill Cosby style. Perfect example. Real comedian. Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. Damn it. Cosby.
Well, that's sexist, okay.
going back to the guy who just wrote Trump, and then it was a whole thing. One of my favorite songs, you know, big fan, Queens of the Stone Age, one of my favorite bands. One of my favorite songs by them was Feel Good Hit of the Summer. Because that song is just nicotine, Valium.
And it rocks.
And it's great. And but then I read like an interview about it, and it made me like it more. Where they were like, you know, why would you write a song like that? And Josh Homme was like, well, that's why I like that song. It's just a list. There isn't anything in the song about what you're doing or what are like.
Yeah.
He's like, in your mind is whatever the song is. It's either oh yeah, I like this stuff, or it's oh no, oh run.
Scary.
You know, maybe he's like, maybe the song is run from this shit. I didn't say, and
it's
I was just, like, I never realized that.
It's the shopping list, the names of drugs.
But he's like, but that song is always the most like argued about in forums and things like that. And he's just like, oh, it's just a list, the shopping list,
edgy and vague.
So that always made me laugh. But anyway.
People want to two things. They want to figure stuff out, and they want to be mad.
Yeah.
So if you give them something that they can't figure out, but kind of riles them up, they'll, you know, be obsessed
with
it.
That's their endless loop. Yeah. It's perfect.
That's their drug.
Yeah. Speaking of which, welcome to Mega 64. We're the masters of confusion and the masters of Terrace Cossie, too.
Hell yeah.
I need to bring something up. And sorry, I know some people. I don't know if. Hey, I need to talk about real briefly the movie Solo.
Okay.
You know, I think people have had time to see it. Okay,
I didn't see Solo.
Well, I'm not going into any plot stuff.
Was
any
it good?
Ending stuff.
Was the Denny's menu good?
The Denny's menu was disappointing.
Did they go to Denny's in Solo?
More than the movie, it was disappointing.
Okay, well,
but
I have to hear it.
The movie itself, nice. Honestly, I didn't think it was much to wave your arms about either way. It was fine.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say? Yeah, it was fine. I really don't think it's worth getting super excited or super mad about.
Okay.
It was like,
can you like rank it amongst between which two Star Wars movies do you place it? Better than blank, not as good as blank.
Better than Phantom Menace, not as good as Revenge of the Sith.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's a pretty poor review of the movie.
But listen, Revenge of the Sith, I'm not going to say that's a good movie, but at least it's got some moments of gravity in it. You know what I'm saying?
It's got a robot with like six swords.
Yeah. But Solo Solo has no gravity. It's just a fun to watch movie. All right.
It's like Rogue One. It's around the same.
I like Rogue One.
I like Rogue One more.
I like Rogue One more than Solo, but it's like that for me. It's a side story that, hey, it sounds, feels,
it was,
looks
it,
like a Star Wars
movie. It was
movie.
Inoffensive. But the it reason fits. I bring it up, the reason okay. I bring it up is because we need to talk about, I wanted to talk about this earlier, but now it's been some time. They name drop Terrace Cossie in that fucking movie.
Oh, cool.
What the fuck?
As like a type of martial arts, right?
Yeah. Well, so that had already happened. A lot of people, I talked with a lot of people who thought, oh my God, they're just referencing the video game. That was a nod to the video game.
Yeah.
No, Terrace Cossie is actually a term in the Star Wars canon. Like in the story Bible.
Yeah.
That is what, like, it's a hand to hand combat style.
It's like their CQC.
Oh, it's like Jedi Krav Maga.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so when Last Jedi came out, Episode 8 came out, those red guards, there were already in, like, all the novels and all the things that came out, you know, like they do the encyclopedias.
Yeah,
stuff
the Imperial
like that.
Guard.
It already said in those books, like, these guys were all trained in Terrace Cossie.
Oh, wow.
So that was already in the universe. But hearing those words on
they were
screen
muttered.
Was, in my opinion, the peak of the movie. So, you know, all those hours I spent training, fighting against whore were well spent.
Whore.
I heard that actually, Rocco, you told me this, that the movie kind of sealed the fate of future Star Wars spin-off one-off movies, that they're not going to be making like the other planned films.
Well, because this kind of fizzled, and I think they Yeah, I think it's a. I think it's still the first Star Wars that will. I think is going to lose money.
Really?
Yeah. I think when they said when it's all said and done, it might lose like $50 million or something.
Wake up
what
call.
What was the budget? I feel like worldwide, it didn't make enough.
It's yeah, it's so funny though because when they announced the movie, I felt like everybody I knew was like, I don't want that.
Yep.
Exactly. And all the marketing was like, no, you do.
Yeah.
You don't know, but yep, you totally do.
Yep.
You do because we're gonna do all this cool stuff.
Yep.
We're gonna do the Kessel Run. We're gonna find out why his name is Han Solo. Yeah. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
and everybody's like, I don't want that.
Yeah, and so the movie to me, it was a fun movie. It's a Ron Howard movie. I mean,
he swooped in
and basically
fixed it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Well, see, that's the thing when you have like one director's working on it, then it goes to another, then it goes to another.
It was like two brothers, right, working on it?
Every time you hand the movie off to a new director, that like chops the legs off of the overall production.
But I felt like most of this movie, I could tell it was Ron Howard because... Yeah. And actually, to a good degree, there were so many scenes where I was like, "This is some Willow shit." Like right in the right in the beginning, he's answering to someone who's calling him into this thing, and it's like this big ass worm puppet thing. And I actually really liked that. It was like, this is charming. Like, this is a dumbass puppet, and it's, you know what I mean. It's not like some CG thing. It's like it felt like watching Willow. I don't know how to describe it. It was this thing anyway. Now we've gone on this whole Solo thing. It's not. It kind of came out a while ago, but I just wanted to bring up.
What if they were going to do a one-off movie? What would be the one character, not your favorite character, but you think would be the most interesting movie they could do? Don't say Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's it. Though. that was what they talked about like all along when Solo got announced. It's like, why are you doing that? Like, do something like Boba Fett.
Well, what cracked me up, I'll just say this first.
Okay.
What cracked me up is all the articles about like and again, I don't think the spinoffs are necessarily dead, but they're slowing, they're like not rushing them out now. Uh-huh. It's like, all right, let's slow down. But what was funny was every article that came out used the same header image. In some form, it would be an image of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, right, like that. And I just thought that would have been the first one I did, was that 30-year period that this guy was rotting in the desert watching over Luke growing up. That's a story that we don't know. That's what you do a spinoff of. No one wanted young Han Solo. Like I'm looking at that article and it's like,
regardless of what
your started
answer
there
is, nobody wanted young Han Solo. Old Han Solo is so fucking cool.
But we know everything we need about him, too. Like, that's it. And we even in the new movies got an end to his arc. So that's done. That's done. Like, we don't need the young thing. But anyway,
But who would you make? Would it be Obi-Wan?
Well, Obi-Wan is one that I could see them making and would want, because I actually think that's an interesting... Just like Rogue One. I didn't know how they got the plans. That's an interesting story. Okay. Obi-Wan's 30 years in the desert, or however long it is. I don't know that. That could be cool. If I had to pick one, though, like, okay, just I'm going whatever, I would honestly... It would be, it would be Jabba's... Tales from Jabba's Palace.
I was going to say a Jabba the Hutt movie
would
be fucking cool.
I would do a bunch of different stories of different... Have a movie that's all separate stories of different characters that go in and out of his palace, and then something together at the end. That's what I would do.
Or honestly, a fucking Jabba the Hutt origins. The fucking little worm, you know, grows up.
I don't even care about origin shit at this point. I really don't. For me, that whole opening of Return of the Jedi is one of my favorite sequences in any movie. And to me, to get a glimpse of like who are all these guys coming in and out of this place? That's what I
Let me tell you. Let me give two answers, and Sean, I want to hear what you think too. But I would go Gonzo. I don't even think these would be like maybe. I don't even know if these would work. But this is so experimental; it'd be crazy. You might get some fucking magic out of it.
Mm.
A Yoda movie, a movie that just follows Yoda,
sure,
whatever the fuck he's doing on Dagobah or before, or honestly, you fucked up with Han Solo movie. Movie should have been about Chewbacca. Yeah. A movie starring Chewbacca. Yeah.
Well, you get some of that in Solo. You get a little bit.
Well, no. I just want all, you know. Yeah, I want Chewie as a little kid.
No dialogue.
Chewie playing baseball as a little kid. Yeah. Shit goes wrong.
I just think the safest thing would be for just hardcore fans and new fans alike, the most mysterious character there was. Well, always Boba Fett.
But here's the thing that...
Him being a space...
I think that
what... Bounty Hunter.
Or just all the Bounty Hunters.
What led to Rogue One being so great was there was no character It was just the story. Yeah. And I didn't. I don't need. I have what I need from all these characters. I don't need anything
from
else.
The mainline.
From
characters.
The main lineup. Yeah. Like, hey, what's the story of the first Jedi? Let's find that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That to me is like, exactly.
I would make that movie.
Yeah.
Because that is more interesting to me than like, oh, what did Princess Leia do when she was a kid? It's like, yeah. I don't give a fuck.
I really think though, and I totally agree. Corellia? I think they need to get away from the same eight character. You know, the same
definitely
mainline. But I really the only exception I think that would work is Obi-Wan. Strictly just because he's the one character that has this 30-year right. gap of, right. yeah. of solitude. So if
how do
you make it,
that
if you do it in kind of that samurai way, where it's like, here's this guy on his own in the desert, and maybe, you know what I mean, like in his quest to watch over no, just
I
this
can,
kid,
I can see
stuff
that too.
Can happen.
No, that, yeah. Whatever.
Wildlife.
That's the only
the
thing
Empire.
I could see maybe. But otherwise, get away from those characters.
Yeah.
I don't need young Luke. I don't need any of that.
No,
you know, I've got it.
I got him. We're good. Anyways.
Star Wars.
Sorry, guys, we're nerds.
Little Star Wars.
Yeah, you know, we're
nerd things no. like Star Wars. Sorry.
I've said it before. I still remember sitting in the movie theater for Avatar the night it was coming out, midnight, 2009, whatever date it was, waiting for Avatar. And the girl in front of me was talking to her friends. Do you think this movie's going to do well? And they were like, yeah, I think it's going to be huge. Like, I know a ton of people going, I don't think it's going to. And they're like, really? I mean, it's a pretty big premiere. This movie's a big deal. Yeah, but it's kind of like a nerd premiere. What do you mean? Well, this movie, it's just kind of like a nerd movie, so I don't think it's honestly going to do that well. Do you know what is the top grossing shit? Like, what? Like
she didn't.
What does she think are the top grossing movies? Like, not nerd stuff?
I don't, you've got mail.
well, at the time, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
That
was,
Notebook.
Well, number one was still Titanic
yeah,
at that point.
Back then,
so
you know, that was before nerd stuff went mainstream.
What, it was 2009, you think so? I feel like there was a couple
years. Are we talking 2009?
Yeah.
Is that when that movie came out?
That was when Avatar came out.
What the
fuck? Oh, you're talking Avatar. For whatever reason, I thought you were talking Episode 1.
No, Avatar.
Oh, no, yeah. Sorry. Avatar.
Yeah, like she's all the Lord of the Rings films were in the top grossing films.
By that point,
oh, yeah,
right?
At that point, yeah. Once Harry Potter and yeah. the prequels yeah. and Lord of the Rings, yeah, that's one nerd. And when Lord of the Rings won Best Picture,
yeah,
it was like,
yeah, so what
nerdy
that was,
stuff
and
is
that,
super mainstream.
That was 6 years before she said that. So what the hell is she talking about? So if you're watching, whoever that was in front of me, what the hell were you talking about?
Should have gone to see 50 Shades.
Yeah.
Darker.
50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades Freed. Is there going to be another one?
I hope.
50 Shades Lighter.
50 Shades Freed is the,
Man,
or, is the last
that
one.
That was yeah. a real big thing. Like yeah. that, and then I felt like...
Still
that
is
it? Because I think that's...
Because I didn't feel like a lot of people saw the third one. Maybe I'm wrong. Did
it
do well?
I can't imagine the third
Meg.
One still kicking.
Meg, did that do
Which
well?
Is your favorite?
Was it good?
Frank?
The first one?
You see movies.
Frank, you see them all.
I don't watch the 50 Shades. I go for real porn. I don't do any of the fake, like...
It's not porn. It's a
yeah,
love story.
It's a drama.
Yeah, it's love.
I'll never forget. I've said this on the podcast, but I was on an airplane once, and there was a woman reading 50 Shades of Grey in a seat in front of me. And
oh,
I remember
yeah.
walking past her, and she's, like, reading the book, and she just goes, oh, Jesus. And I was just like, what the fuck is this woman reading on the plane?
Whoa. Shit. Do you ever watch like
keep that woman out of the bathroom?
Sometimes I watch movies or shows on like my phone on the plane or whatever, and yeah. it gets to like a nude scene or like
yeah.
you know it's like Westworld or Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it's like
you pop one.
Like, oh, fuck, okay.
Skydiving video.
Skydiving videos. I don't watch this on a plane.
That reminds me of the episode of South Park where Randy watches the Cooking Network and he's just going, "Fuck you." just for a quick, I know we were talking about Star Wars relentlessly
yeah.
for a minute, but I just want to bring it back to that for a second.
Yeah. yeah.
Did you guys ever read about or see what just recently George Lucas said about what his 7, 8, and 9 would have been?
Pirates.
Well, that was what people were talking about Piracy. Before is that he pitched that idea, yeah. but they asked him about it recently and you never know. I feel like he changes his answer with a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
That's not what he said recently.
What
they were like,
it?
What's your episode 7 and 8 and 9? What were they going to be if you were in charge? And he said, we were going to go into the Force, but on a more molecular level.
Oh,
like,
dumb.
What are the organisms that make up the Force?
Who cares?
What? Leave wow. it to magic.
But you know, that's what I both hate and love about George Lucas.
He's meddling again.
No, but of course that would have been terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
He did try in the prequels with all that Metachlorian
talk. Yeah, and people
talk.
Rejected it. But I will say that. There is a part of me that loves that was his answer.
Yeah.
George Lucas cares so little about delivering the same thing twice.
Yeah.
that even his own legacy of characters and all this shit doesn't mean shit to him. Hey, fuck it. 7, 8, 9, they're about cells. I almost love that. You know what I mean? Mechanic. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I kind of appreciate that.
Well, see, his answer about pirates was really fascinating to me.
Yeah,
I wish
they
would have explored more of that because he was really informed from real-world politics in World War II. And so in the Star Wars universe, they dethrone the Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not just going to be like, oh, good, we beat them. Everything's fucking great. I imagine like it would be like when they got Saddam Hussein out of Iraq. It's like, well, who the fuck is running this shit now? Nobody? Yeah. And all these terrorist groups start filling the void. So when he said pirates, that's what I imagine. You know, it's more like space terrorists.
Yeah.
Which would have been fucking cool.
But what's ironic is that is what we got. That is what the First Order is in Star Wars.
Yeah.
But it doesn't
in name and theory, but they're
exactly
so well organized.
Yeah. It's like you a read new that, government. But hey, you read that opening text of Force Awakens, and it basically says that in the void of the Empire, a radical group rose up.
Yeah.
It just the problem is that it doesn't read like that.
You're not a radical group.
It just comes off like Empire 2.
You're not a radical group when you have a whole fucking planet base with a super weapon and everybody is in uniforms and there's a whole hierarchy with generals.
It always
doesn't
you,
read.
You
yeah.
are, but yeah, it just doesn't more read. Like it should have been more ragtag bad guys.
Yeah. I saw a sorry, you were gonna say
no. It just the New Order seemed just like a rebuilt Empire.
Yeah.
Hey, we still have the surplus. Let's change it up a little.
And I think that you know, and I'm someone you know who's enjoying the new movies. That is the weakest part of them, in my opinion. And somebody brought that up though. There was a video the other day, and I wish I would plug it. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a really great video where he said, "I'll tell you right now why the First Order is not as scary as the Empire. I'll tell you in 2 seconds."
Yeah, what?
they yell too much, and I was like, what? And then you kept watching the video. And he's like, they are losing control all the time. Watch. And every clip of them is, fire all the guns!
Oh, yeah.
We will destroy the Empire! And he's like, now let's go to the Empire in the old movies.
They're legit.
You have far too trusting.
SS soldiers,
fire
man.
When ready.
Yeah, you know what? You're
it
right.
is like,
they have
these fucking assholes.
They have complete control.
Yeah. It is just unwavering. Tell us the name of the planet.
That's a really good point.
Oh, you're far too trusting.
That is a
fire
good point.
When ready.
Yeah, the First Order is just throwing tantrums.
Yeah, he's like at any given point they're slashing up the console or yelling, and he's like it doesn't ever come off as like whoa the Iron Fist man. Like,
yeah.
You know, so I mean, you know, is that intentional? Whatever, but I don't know. We'll
also, see. Tarkin's got like another 50 years on General Hux or whatever.
Yeah.
That character though is always whining and complaining.
Yeah.
I mean, so is the fucking main villain, though, really.
Yeah. At least there's some kind of, like, sides to that story, though.
They're young.
General
they're
Hux
like,
is kind of just dumb.
They're thrown into this position. Yeah, I guess.
I want to give a shout-out. I was at the zoo today. I got recognized by a fan.
Shout-out animals. Sorry.
Shout-out to all the animals. Our fan Aldo is in San Diego. He saw us at PAX East. He recognized me. He's like, Derek, I'm a huge fan. He's going to Disneyland tomorrow. I said...
Oh.
I said I would get Rocco to give you the recommendation of where you should go in Disneyland for somebody who's going tomorrow.
Oh, can I do it?
Okay, yeah, sure. Double team.
Thank you. Mickey and Friends lot, because if you park in Pinocchio, that's a long walk.
Okay.
That's a pro tip.
Hey.
He's probably
even more.
From
can
San
I give
Diego.
You an even more pro tip?
Yeah.
Advanced tip. Pinocchio is rubble. You cannot park there anyway.
We got rid of it?
Yeah, because they're building a new structure. They're building a whole new structure.
Look at the disappointment on his face.
Bro. When was the last time you went to Disneyland?
Yeah, bro.
Game
were you
days,
were
dude?
You at Game Days? But that's good. That's a good recommendation. I'm going to say no lines, nothing but AC. You can kick back, relax, charge your phone. They say you can't eat. I bet you'll find a way. Great moments with Mr. Lincoln. You hear the wise words of that president, which are ring truer today.
Wait, do you eat inside Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln?
You can eat in there. No, I don't.
Rocco likes this fucking thing. No one's in here but Rocco because he can eat and charge his phone.
This is your president.
No, hold on.
Go eat inside Great Moments of Mr.
Yeah,
Lincoln.
You can, if
you
have to.
Your phone.
Okay. Well, the reason I bring that up is that's a running joke with me and Kevin.
Yeah.
If you sit front row for Mr. Lincoln, which I recommend. Actually recommend. There's actually usually a decent amount of people. It's never packed.
I don't want those mandroids staring at me.
But when you sit front row, it's cool. They've redone the animatronics. You can see like the facial muscles of this thing moving. Like
it, you hear the clicks.
Yeah,
though,
and
right?
What's cool is back in the 60s, they cleaned up the recordings, you know. So, you know, the guy, he talks really properly, da-da-da-da-da. But when they redid the animatronic recently, they put back in all the, like, and, like, lip smacks. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those little things are in there. So you see that when you sit in the front row. But the reason why I bring up the front row is, right at the brim of the stage, there's like an outlet you could see from like the 60s.
For
and I'm
vacuum.
Always like, Kevin, charge your phone. Like, you need to charge your phone, charge your phone. We always make a joke, but I've never seen anyone do it.
Well, here's
phone
the
will
thing.
Explode.
You should do it. And my, who are you going to fucking offend? The actor?
Yeah.
No. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He's a robot.
He's
so go right ahead, yeah, charge your phone, get up to a couple percent. You're fine.
Rip a but fart.
You're
yeah, rip a fart. Do whatever
he's
you
not
want.
Bring
but food. It,
but in terms of the food thing, in terms of the food thing, yeah. There was one time you're not supposed to eat in there. But one time I was waiting for somebody, and I was like, "Shit, I got to eat before they get here." And I thought it was something you could like bring food into because you can for the tiki room and other stuff.
Yeah.
They actually tell you like, "Yeah, bring food."
Dole Whip's allowed.
So I was eating something, and I just went in there and sat down, and it was just me. And the guy came in and gave the same spiel he always does: "Please, no food." Or drink, and he's looking right at me, and I've got like a shrimp po' boy, and he's like, "Just do your best, and,
do your
best." And he closed the door, and it was like just me. It was like some dead night.
If I see any rice down here.
Oh yeah, well, if you're eating and he kicks you out, there's nobody to watch the show.
Yeah, so you couldn't do. I had him by the balls.
He had him by the po' boy. all right, cool.
Anyway.
Well, Aldo, I hope you yeah.
People skip that attraction. Go to that attraction. You're going to hear some wise words.
He's doing a lot of sightseeing, huh? The zoo and Disneyland.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He said it's he watched. Okay. He watched a recent podcast from years ago where we told him what to hit in San Diego or gave recommendations to people, and he said he did them all. So
wow,
now he's
damn.
Leaving.
Very cool.
Shouts out. All right, enough about that guy.
Enough about that guy. Hey, I wanted to give a quick plug here.
Yeah,
just promote our shit. Quick plug. Shop.mega64.com is the place to go if you want high quality Mega 64 goods.
Oh.
And even if you know what, even if you watch tonight for the first time and you're like, I hate these guys. I don't like Mega 64. I don't like what they do. Fine, but I bet if you go to our store, you'll see some items that'll make you believe, and you'll go, you know what? Indifferent to this Rocco guy, I like these designs. I'm
going
to wear this. So go to shop.mega64.com. In fact, I'd like to announce here, Friday, July 20th, we are going to put on sale we printed a very rare limited print of Flame War Theater posters. Friday, it says June. Fuck.
Look at that.
It's supposed to be July. Cut that. Cut.
No, I'll make it right.
Cut.
No, just write over it with a Sharpie or something.
Cut back to Friday, July 20th at shop.mega64.com.
Who made that graphic?
Oh, come on. I did. When I was sitting here with my dick in my hand.
Well,
I had
thank you for doing that.
What?
But anyway.
That's how we think.
Next time, use two hands on the keyboard.
Friday, July 20th, on sale, Flame War Theater posters, as well as mystery posters.
Ooh.
We have, we moved here. We have an inventory of posters that we've brought to like cons and stuff. That we found, and we want to pass them on to you. So you get a random poster at a low, low price. So we'll keep everyone posted.
Are there going to be some exclusives in there? Some
former
exclusives?
Yeah, some stuff that, there will be some in there. And if you did, we did mystery posters last year. I think there'll be very few repeat ones from last year. Like, I think you'll get some good stuff.
Hey, you know what? I also want to plug the Mega 64 Patreon. Check it out. Patreon.com/Mega64. It's sort of like, the impromptu Mega 64 fan club. You get to sign up, get cool exclusive stuff. We've been cooking up some badass new merchandise for everybody who supports us on there. But also, if you like what we do here, It helps us out. It helps support everything that we make and, the videos we've been putting out. We've been taking a little bit extra time with them, trying to make them really good. And, if you like it, if you appreciate it, help us out a little bit.
Definitely. Yeah. Helps out with the game streams, everything.
Yeah, we were filming for version 4 earlier this week in an incredible location.
Oh, man. One of the best locations I've filmed in my opinion.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's a San Diego landmark, too. Yeah. And the fact that we were able to get in there is pretty incredible. I don't know of any other filmmakers personally in San Diego who have filmed in this location. And we are toiling away on the book as well, the Mega 64 book, which is coming very close to completion. So, you know, at least go over, check out everything that's there. You don't have to support us, but at least look at the page and see what we're doing over there. You might think it's cool. Patreon.com/Mega64.
Without saying anything further about like where exactly we were, what we were doing for that version 4 thing we were filming.
Yeah.
We asked what, like, surely they've filmed something else here before, right? Like, what else have they filmed here before? And they told us, oh, a long time ago, Citizen Kane, like a scene.
That's
so
insane.
So
it's just the two of us. Jesus.
I get emails all the time. I get emails all the time that are like, version 4, where is it? It probably doesn't even exist. Not only is it being filmed and still being worked on and we're getting there.
Yeah.
But us and Citizen Kane share...
We're not saying we're making Citizen Kane. No. We're just saying we're using the same assets
You're
as Citizen Kane.
You're on the same level as Orson Welles.
Yeah, we're using the Citizen Kane materials for our own project.
It really sounds like I'm joking, though, but that is actually what was said. Oh, Citizen Kane a long time ago.
Before you, what was the thing right before
let me say, too, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you some more shit. You're going to think this is cool. Keep this in mind for later. It's one of the very early opening scenes of the film.
Yeah.
So when it comes out, you'll know exactly where Citizen Kane was filmed.
Yeah.
It's one of the opening scenes. So. Yeah.
Fucking funny.
So, you know, stay tuned.
Citizen Kane and Mega 64 version 4.
Revengerection.
Were filmed in this spot. I hope there's a plaque that says that in the next couple of years.
I'll add it.
Those two films. Yeah. Yep, just those two. Anyway.
Let's talk about some of our video production stuff from this week.
We had a new Flame War Theater come out. We didn't even have a podcast at all last week.
No.
Right? Okay, okay.
We were busy with Amex.
Well, let me rewind it actually just a hair further back. We didn't get to do it. We didn't get to say it. Sean was not here before. But again, you know, our Cell Saga in five minutes video came out a while ago. Still on YouTube, doing really well. We just put it on Facebook because there were already a bunch of jack-off rip-offers.
Twice as many views on Facebook now than it has on YouTube.
Yeah. It's past – is it past 2 million?
Yes, 2.1 last I saw.
Yeah. Oh.
2.5.
Oh, 2.5.
Shit, I saw it at 1.4 earlier this afternoon.
Yeah. It's going fast. So it's blowing up now on Facebook. And once again, I just wanted to say thank you to Sean for doing all the amazing costumes, props, what have you.
He wasn't here to get this praise.
He wasn't here to receive that here last time, but he is now. So shout out to Sean. Congrats on all the love for all the different physical things.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we all worked hard on that video.
We did.
Congratulations to all of
us. I would like to say that the four of us, five of us, Meg, everyone who has helped with this, a lot of people here who helped. But thank God for Rocco's knowledge of Dragon Ball. goddamn. It was, you know, sometimes I was making costumes like, does Cell ever do this? It's like, oh, you know what? In this one episode, he does do that. It's like, who else would fucking know this random thing I'm asking? Like, you
that
know.
Was Sean has the eye for everything, so Sean knew how to execute things all on his own. Like, he did that himself. But I was happy to help whenever it was like that was the only thing I contributed to the costume part is that Sean would be working really hard on like a shoulder pad, and then he'd be like, "Is this it's not really working out. Is this iconic in the show?" And I would either be like, "Hey, no one's gonna notice. Don't do it." Or it would be like, Sean, that shoulder pad was given to Goku by the Tuffles in an early... You know what I mean? Something like
he
that.
Has to have
so people will definitely look out for that, you know. But other than that, I mean,
I think it was a great time for everyone. I think we all... Everyone in that video and who helped make that video shined. Yeah. So it was a ton of fun.
So, yeah, basically, I'm stoked to bring it up again because, again, it's doing so well on Facebook now. We had a lot of... My anime expo was... Half spent at Anime Expo and the other half spent taking down, you know, we use the term rip-offers.
Yeah.
Freebooters. I'm going to be specific.
Freebooters, I like that.
Conman T. Rip-Offer, I think was his name. But anyway, all these guys freebooting, yeah. I think they call it, our video.
That's what it's called. Cute.
Yeah, ripping our video and putting it on their shitty DBZ meme Facebook. No, it happens to everybody.
It does to everybody.
But,
the algorithm.
That's how you know you're successful. When people steal your shit.
That's true.
Here's the thing, and let me just say this. I love when people, you know, have one of our, take one of our videos or whatever and do something creative with it. Hey, I made a remix of, you know, Hips Don't Lie with Garrett on the podcast set, and, you know, or,
I love that too.
You know what I mean? When people take something and do their own spin on it.
To me, that's almost like fan art, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, what do you, you know, you do something creative, that's great. But when people just straight upload your thing, fuck that. Like, that is so annoying. And yeah. I do see sometimes a little bit of blowback that's like, well, they're just promoting you. They're just promoting you. That's not on them. That's on us. If it's our thing, we do it through our channels. You know, if you
and
know,
let's be real. They're not fucking promoting
yeah,
us.
Yeah, no, they're not.
They're promoting themselves.
They're meme
They're
account.
Using our shit yeah, they to didn't, boost their
they're
shit.
They're not plugging us at all. It's DBZ memes and laughs
the
or
worst
whatever.
Is
and,
when it's the caption, yeah. XD, who made this?
Yeah. Yeah, they and literally put that.
At the fucking end of all idiots. Our videos, it says Mega64.com, and they cut that off.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they go, so, yeah. I don't know who made this. You fucking edited our name out of it, yeah. piece of shit.
Yeah. So it's not even about like ad revenue or anything like that, because I mean we don't get that from Facebook anyway. You know, it's purely we want to do it. We want our stuff to be in our place. So please don't upload just our straight stuff. Like just all the way. You know,
no internet soldier would do that.
Well, I saw that. On they're YouTube. I've never that. Seen this before. The video that people filmed a reaction to our video.
Yeah,
and they filmed themselves watching our video. What a racket, because all they gotta do is watch a video and then they get that. One person in particular had 6 ad breaks in the middle of our video.
Getting paper.
And it had like over 80,000 views. And it's like,
damn, son.
If you want to make that video, I saw a lot of people doing it and they just watched our video straight. They enjoyed it. I personally like watching that. That was fine.
6
ad breaks.
But then like, you're making how much money off of something that you did literally no work? It's so weird.
We didn't put any ad breaks in the video.
We sure didn't. Didn't do that.
But, you know, again, reaction videos, I still, you know, I'm not going to do it, you know. That's not just a straight re-upload, so
no,
all right, fine.
There is, no,
so
no,
be
no.
it. But in terms of what I enjoyed... the ones where people were like inserting their own jokes. Well, it looks like this guy went to the basketball factory. Hey, it looks like to me, that's so fucking hacky. What I liked was honestly the ones where it was a group of friends hanging out on a couch.
It was like two
oh man,
girls.
Watch
yes.
that! Yeah,
I saw that.
There's
one
with two guys and a girl, and they're just watching it and laughing, and like they've never seen it, and it was. And that's, I enjoyed watching that because it was like, this is just real people watching something.
And it
something.
Felt good, right?
Yeah.
When you're laughing really hard, it's like, we fucking did it. Like, I felt like you feel good seeing that as a creator.
And
I
there
it.
Was a point, I think, where when they showed the basketball on Cell's head, I think they said, these guys are so fucking stupid and just kept laughing. And that was the most flattering thing I'd ever heard. So that stuff is great. But when it's like their own, let me put in my own jokes.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And that's not their first viewing either. When they're putting all their own shit in, you know that's a third or fourth time they've watched it.
Yeah.
And they're, they're rehearsing
all this
bullshit.
Looks like this guy
bullshit.
Went to the basketball factory. Is that even a
looks
joke?
Like, it looks like this guy went to the toilet
Best
factory.
Yeah, with.
You know, just shut up.
Doing your mom.
Let's talk about Flame War Theater.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the two that have come out since, we put out at Anime Expo, we debuted, and then it went online, Naruto Haters.
Excuse me, how did you just say that?
To all you
I pronounce it Narchuro.
That's, wow, you nailed
Don't
it.
Don't laugh, Meg.
Narchuro?
Meg's behind the camera cackling.
Oh, okay.
This is why we have Kevin do it. He's neutral. I don't get...
Yeah,
I
Kevin
I don't need the peanut gallery.
He's quiet.
I don't need the peanut gallery. Jesus, fuck.
Shouts out to Meg on the camera.
Thank you,
there.
Meg. Thank you,
yeah,
Frank.
Thank you for doing
Frank
that.
Is running
thank
the,
you for doing
the soundboard for us
Frank,
today.
Frank, thank you so much.
Frank, why don't you chime in about Flame War Theater?
Yeah, so... We were going to do Flame War Theater for Anime Expo, so specifically we wanted to find an anime topic. So I went on Crunchyroll, and Crunchyroll, through Google, I found they have a database of all of their locked topics for like the past decade. So I went to the very last page, and it was a bunch of forums from like 2006, 2005, a lot of really awful shit. But then I was able to find some mild stuff, and then yeah, there was this topic for all your Naruto haters, and it was 9 pages. And it started very sincere. Hey, you don't really hate Naruto. The fillers, they're not that bad. People arguing. And then I clicked ahead. And then the second half is people arguing about, like, MySpace and cancer. And, like, it was such an extreme split. So that's why we had, when I was putting the script together, it starts serious. And, again, you guys killed it. And then we do 3 pages later, and they're yelling about MySpace. Because I also think that's how every single, like, internet argument forms. So, yeah, that one was really was really fun. And that did well at Anime Expo.
People liked it.
Yeah, people really dug that. That one did really well.
Yeah, I feel like Rocco really killed it in that one.
Oh, God, thank you. I didn't feel that way, but thank you.
I think you were really funny.
It was hard for me to memorize it.
I think that I tried too hard in that one.
I thought it was a really good Daniel Day-Lewis. I like the contrast.
I was a little bit disappointed. I don't think we need a, you know, this is experimental. I don't think we need cowboys in Flame War.
Okay, all right.
So some people out there like it. Thank you very much. We went back to, do you have something to say
about that? Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a big fan of it. Because also, like, I feel like the Derek brought it up, but my direction was like, this is like a trial. Like, two different lawyers going up to bat. Yeah. Like, one pro-Naruto, one anti-Naruto. Yeah. So I like what Derek did.
I don't know why I did the like Braveheart look.
It was like Braveheart versus There Will Be Blood. It was very weird.
I didn't have that as a plan. I just put on a costume, and then I had blue makeup in my car, got left in there by somebody, and I just grabbed it with my hand and went, all right, I'm ready. Okay, let's go.
Anyway, it's funny. The first time we did it, getting the costume is like, we have this Shakespearean costume. And now it's been so many times, it's like, what can I piece together that I don't even know? In like the depths of our costume closet, trying to figure it out. That's fun.
And then the second one we did was Nubs. So this one, I played Halo 2 the entire era that it was up on the servers. Like, I loved Halo 2, so I wanted to find something from that era. So I went on, like, NeoSeeker, dug very deep in the back, found Halo 2, and then it's a good sign for Flame War Theater if the topic is locked and already has a good title. Yeah. So I found one that was just, how do you feel about Nubs? And it was this, like, 8-year-old kid with the dumbest avatar ever. Anime hair. Just, what do you think of Nubs?
Cool
and
guy.
People would reply, and he would snark back with everything. And it was like, this is gold. So I found that, and then I gave it to, like, Derek, and you guys killed it with that one, too. That was fun.
Yeah, that one was
fun. Yeah, I saw a lot of comments on that, and I need to address an issue with this series.
Uh-oh.
People want to know, why is Derek so sweaty in every episode of Flame War Theater? And I'll tell you.
Who said that?
So many comments. Oh, no. I'll tell you, and it's not my fault. I'm going to throw my teammates under the bus here. We have to do so many fucking takes to get Flame War Theater right. You see the shit I'm doing, the level of energy. It takes 13 or 14 takes to do every segment
of
that show. And then only the last one is the good one. So when you watch Flame War Theater, just know this is like the 30th take we've done and like I'm giving it my all. And that's why I'm fucking drenched in sweat.
Especially that last one, we'll call myself out. I could not get those fucking lines because they were worded so weird. I kept missing little beats. It was just like it was really tough.
These scripts are written by 12-year-olds from 2005, and like they're interchanging nubs and noobs and XBL and like.
Well, so that's what I was gonna say is I wasn't there. Well, first of all, the Naruto one, he mixed up. And he mixed up so many misspellings and then got them right later. That's what made it really hard.
It fucked you up.
But, so that really fucks you up. But the Nubs one, Kevin and I were still back at Anime Expo closing it down. So we weren't there for that. And so I only watched it when it was finally done editing. And it took me half the video to realize what they were talking about. Because I was going... Nubs. What do they not want nubs for? They don't want nubs? What are they talking? Is he talking about his dick? What is this?
Idiot kid.
Oh, noobs!
Yeah.
I know I'm dense, but it took me half
I saw that comment too. Maybe we should have said noobs, but they wrote it nubs.
No.
There's so many ways.
I actually enjoyed that.
There's so many ways to write noobs.
Yeah.
N-E-W-B-S, N-O-O-B-S, N-0-0-B-S, but he put N-U-B-S. That's nubs. Yeah. That's a word.
The characters explain it too. As that video progresses, they explain, noobs is what you're talking about. Yeah. That's when it kind of clicked
for
me,
too.
Well, again,
I like it. It engages the viewer with, like, a little sense of mystery. You don't know what they're talking about at first. You don't know what game they're talking about. Yeah. Halo's never explicitly mentioned in the video itself. Again, it's just, it's active.
You're kind of just thrown into this world that...
it's so funny to hear, like, go back to Leet speak.
Yeah, I missed it.
Man, that's, like, some early 2000s shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the punchline of the video, is, and that's why the thread was gold. I am I-33 plus. Like, the kid is so fucking naive, and everyone roasts him immediately.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
I-33 plus.
Yeah.
So yeah, both of those. And I think I have an idea. I think I have an idea what we might be doing for the next couple of those.
Oh.
And they're going to be real good.
Ooh.
Real good. I think, if my suspicions are correct.
Can't wait to find out.
Sorry, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to keep it a secret. They're not even going to film it.
Cool.
Talking in that voice reminds me, I've already talked about this on the podcast, but when the dude came to our booth at PAX East, I think about it almost daily. When the guy came to our booth, he went, "Do you have any goodies I could have?" And we said no, and then he walked away. After he talked about how he'd been a fan for a decade and was waiting to see us for that long.
Yeah.
Has never traveled.
He
and
was
all the
buttering
stuff.
Us up for freebies.
And then he went, "Do you have any goodies I could have?"
That's how he asked.
It sounded like Emperor Palpatine's kid. Like if he had a kid.
I believe the station will be operational when your friends arrive.
Meg, do you like that or no?
Fuck. No reaction.
Oh, she loved it. Bullshit.
Hey, speaking of Meg, Meg and I host Heart Slayers. We're going to be doing an episode this Tuesday, so call us up, please. It's going to be our final episode of season one.
Nice.
And we want to end with a bang. We didn't get any phone calls last episode, which is okay. We answered a bunch of emails, but we want to end on a good note. So give us a ring. This is going to be your last chance. We're going to go on hiatus for a little while and then return for season two.
Make it juicy.
Season two, the raunchier season.
Yeah. It will be. It's gotten raunchier as it goes on. Yeah. We're starting to get into some real juicy topics, a lot of gossip. Been getting some interesting emails, too. We'll still take some emails, but we prefer calls. They get the priority.
Oh. Heart Slayers, I'm going to say Heart Slayers.
10 a.m., hold on. 10 a.m. Pacific on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday, this Tuesday. Call us up on Skype.
Heart Slayers, the freak season is what it's going to be called.
That's going to be
and
season three.
With a Z.
That's
in
season
it.
Three.
Two Z's.
Why not?
The season.
Maybe for season two, we'll do special guests and we'll bring some freaks in.
Hell yeah.
We'll be like, yo, just talk about your freaky shit.
Come on in, freaks.
Nasty.
Come on in, freaks. Reminds me of the classic.
We'll have Rocco come in.
I'm a freak.
Feel like a freak on a leash.
We'll have Rocco talk about all his freaky sexcapades.
Okay. Ooh, by the way.
Yeah.
This week, exclusive Gold Ranger Zeonizer at Comic-Con.
Okay,
that's all I'm
going to
say.
Wow.
I'm going to be let's just say this. I'll be ready for season 2.
Yeah.
I'll be ready.
You got some freaky stories once you get that thing home?
I'll be ready. Yeah. Exclusive Psycho Silver figure. I'll be ready for season
Barricade
2.
Barricade the door.
See
I'll be
you
ready
there.
For season. Get those
See
inside.
There.
Lock them up.
I saw this picture of Jason David Frank. I don't remember who he was with. He posed next to like a famous woman. Maybe you saw this picture recently. God, I wish I think it was Pamela Anderson. There's a picture of him with Pamela Anderson.
Okay.
It looks like he's gonna punch her in the face.
he always has that pose.
He's posing with her like this.
Yeah, he always does. He does.
And
that
it's
pose.
Like, is Pamela safe? Like, you need to find this picture. It's yeah. really funny.
Most people who pose with them do that too, so it looks like, you know,
Pamela
tough guy.
Pamela Anderson is just like standing there, and he's like about to knock her out.
Damn.
That's not
going to
work.
Yeah, it didn't look good. Sorry, Jason.
Someone in the chat brought this up, and I want to bring it up too. Japan is getting a replica, basically, of what is our Space Morpher, Power Rangers in Space. The Mega Ranger Morpher.
Nobody brought that up, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, someone did.
Nobody brought that up.
I got a middleman to get it for me because you have to have a Japanese address. So I figured it out. But check this out.
Is this legal?
Now, this you'll think is cool.
Oh.
This
oh.
you'll think is cool.
Okay.
Finally.
Sorry, the World Cup. Someone in the chat said the World Cup. So I should talk about that real
okay.
quick.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Oh.
But this, but you'll like this. This is like new technology.
Okay.
Right?
Ooh.
The Mega Ranger... like their morpher, basically. It was a wrist morpher that you flipped open. You know, 3, 3, 5.
Yeah, I remember you had that, right?
Yeah, it was on the Mega 64 set for a little while.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, it's a replica 1-to-1 from the show. It's got fucking voice recognition.
Wait.
You can go, "I need Mega Voyager," and the dude will talk back to you like, "Are you sure? Has the battle escalated? Like, you need
can
that?"
We,
yes.
So we go around
All
the
right.
table here, wide shot. Does anybody think that's cool?
What
Sean, go ahead,
voice
go ahead
recognition
first.
in a thing like that? That's I mean,
go
this
ahead,
is better
Sean.
Than Siri at this point.
Let's real quick. How much does this cost?
Well, you get the Morpher and the Battleizer, which was another device. It's a set for about 120.
Okay, so not impressed anymore.
Holy not impressed.
Shit. If it was like $10, yeah, that's pretty cool.
$10? Amazon, why would it be
Echo Dot, $40?
That's what I'm saying. Like voice recognition and that kind of shit.
But they're not one-to-one prop replicas from an amazing series.
Neither is that.
You know what? Wow. The fact that the toy in the show or the communicator in the show had this talking feature and this toy replica does that with voice recognition, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the price tag, maybe, are these die-cast?
Yes, they're real metal. They're import, and it's imported from Japan.
Are we talking 24 karat gold plating?
No, these were silver, so it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
No. When you get that, can you bring it in for show and tell?
Yeah, November.
Maybe I'll be impressed.
Black Friday. Oh. MEGA Mega.
Are you sure you need the Mega Voyager now, Rocco?
Well, it's all in Japanese because it's an import.
Oh, oh see.
But luckily, and let me speak for Rocco on this. English. Rocco speaks Japanese because he watches a lot of anime and has picked it up through osmosis.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he can speak some now if you wanted him to, but he's not going
to
probably.
No, I'm saving it.
Save it.
Saving all my best for the device.
Save it for Space Sheriff Shider.
They released a sword for that, but that's another podcast.
That's another podcast.
That's a different podcast. Yep. Anyway, World Cup, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
Really quick.
Nobody.
No, let's be fair. Everyone gets to talk their topic tonight.
I will go very quick. The World Cup is now over.
I fucking loved it. It was great. Amazing the whole way through. If you liked the World Cup, listen to the podcast, We Came to Win. I could not recommend it more. Even if you don't like soccer. It was 10 episodes, France. It was 10 episodes. We Came to Win. It is a fantastic podcast about the World Cup, and it rules. I'm done. Thank you.
That's Garrett, what fringe topic are you want to take on the podcast?
Can I pass? Can I take? I think that enough time was wasted with, unfortunately, the Ranger Forum
The
soccer ball discussion.
Quick.
I'm just going to say, let's move it right along.
I find watching sports incredibly boring. And I like playing sports, but I don't like watching somebody else play sports.
You know what?
That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I'm watching the World Cup, and there is points. I'm like this. Like, oh, fuck. And it's like, because to me, these people, when it comes down to penalty kicks especially, it's like their whole life is centered. This is the moment for them. And if they fuck it up, which they do.
They get thrown in the gulag.
That would be in their head, and that's their legacy forever.
Yeah, but see, that was me with Mega Ranger versus the Neji Ranger.
Because to me, it's like, this is this person's
nothing.
Life.
Nothing, Meg?
Yeah, even
here.
If you win. Even if they win, that's their legacy forever.
No, they make it. You're right. That's cool. Their legacy. But if they fail, their whole life is built up to this moment. The entire world is watching, and are you going to pull through, or are you going to fucking choke? What are you going to do?
You're going to pretend like you hurt your leg and fall down and roll around.
I care.
Owie.
I
love it.
Oh, delay me, please.
100 years from now, that legacy will have vanished.
You know what, though?
It doesn't matter.
With the World Cup, I disagree. I think that this is the one
bigger,
thing.
It's growing.
That it's every 4 years, like the Olympics, but it means so much to so many people that I feel like like England still talks about 1960 because that's when they won it. Like,
who was
1960?
Your favorite Olympian from the 1918 Olympics?
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Olympics that's more records and stuff like that. But I'm saying, like, the teams.
You don't have one.
Yeah,
because the people were forgotten. My point is that the legacy, it's like frivolous because over time nobody's going to give a shit because the sports, they're done every couple of years. So. It's like here today and gone tomorrow.
I disagree. I feel like, although I can't name an athlete from 1918, I can tell you the events and I can look up, like, it, probably not footage. But, you know, like, especially with today's things, you will be able to go back and watch these games. No, this is forever.
And I think soccer, or football, as it's called everywhere else, is growing in a way that, like, American football, the injuries and all the fucking CTE drama, I think that's kind of like waning a little.
Mm-hmm.
And football is kind of growing.
It is growing. I think today was the most viewed thing ever. Like, the entire world, like, more viewers were on watching that game than anything ever before.
More than the end of Dallas?
That was just, I think, the American...
No way it beat Dallas.
Because, I mean,
no
that way. Was a good episode.
No way
it
beat end of Seinfeld.
I'm saying the
Beatles,
world
ends, Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
No. That's America.
Roseanne reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
People are still talking about the end of Seinfeld.
Not in this room. Soccer, the majority of the people in the world like soccer. Not here.
Nah, bullshit.
I'm one of them.
Nope. Wrong.
Nope.
Nope.
If you, tell you what, I'll make you a deal.
Bad statistics.
I'll make you a deal because we're about to be somewhere with the world stage in front of us.
Majority of people in the world haven't even heard of soccer.
This week, I'll prove you wrong.
Okay.
This week, we're going to one of the biggest events in the world. I will declare at our booth to the entire crowd at San Diego Comic-Con who here likes soccer. And I bet the majority are going to say triumphantly, no.
I bet
and
no
you'll
one.
Be proven wrong.
I don't think they're going to be in any shape to play soccer. We should film this.
We should film it.
Okay.
Because people are going to ignore you, and the people who do like soccer are going to say me. So we will get more me's than no's.
Wait, yeah, right, people are
okay,
think
so there's free stuff.
What are the stakes on the table if Rocco wins or if Sean wins? There's got to be a prize. What are the stakes here? If more people have heard of soccer and care about it at Comic-Con than haven't,
I got an idea.
Then one
well,
of you
I'm
gets
saying
to
we'll get more yays
man.
Than nays. You, okay. That's what
no
I'm saying.
Way.
If you get more yays, Sean, you should be able to design your next shirt as like a football.
I already did that one of those.
Yeah, he already did that shit.
Get real, like, obvious with it.
Okay, well, maybe.
And, by the way, we didn't sell a single one.
Oh.
The not one. Sales. They sat zero sales.
If I win,
okay,
I get to unbox his Morpher and use it first.
Oh, no.
I won't mess it up.
Well, you know what? No, I'm confident.
I won't fuck that up.
I'm confident it's not going to happen, so what do I care?
I have a better one. If you win, he has to give you the Morpher, and you keep it in your office.
I don't want it in my office. That's a punishment.
That's the trophy.
I don't
it's
want
your trophy.
You wouldn't look at it with pride?
Hey, put it in the garbage. It's yours.
Hey.
Stick it outside
half the
on the
fun,
roof.
Half the fun is unboxing it, so yeah. Hey. If that's what you choose.
And I get to push the little buttons before
it.
You.
All right. Talk to
then
it.
Then I'll give it to you.
Rocco,
it's yours.
What are your terms? Upon
Sean,
victory.
Oh, man. Let's see. What would be a good revenge? Sean cannot watch sports the rest of that season. Baseball all the way through the end of the World Series. Can't watch it.
Hit a nerve.
You can't enforce
if I ask you,
5 minutes
you
if I'm boxing your shitty
if I,
toy.
If I ask you the score and you know what it is on a certain game, you're disqualified.
Okay. Can he listen to radio broadcasts?
No. Okay, that's a little harsh. What do you think? I don't know.
That's mean.
He has to wear shoes.
That's mean, think that, Rocco. Okay, I think if Sean wins, Rocco has to go to a baseball game with Sean and Rocco's paying.
Oh.
And he has to take his whole family.
Wow. No, that's like two
but
and a half.
If Rocco is right, Sean has to go to Power Morphicon with Rocco.
Ooh, it's
okay.
And Sean's buying.
Yeah, okay. That sounds fair.
I filmed this panel once. It was a blast, Sean.
Can we agree
it.
To those terms?
No, I don't know. Well, when's Power Morphicon?
Late August, I think.
It's coming soon. Coming up. Where is it?
It's coming up. Anaheim.
Oh!
Yeah. It's not too far.
It's not too far.
One day. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to go to a baseball game. You have to go to Power Morphicon.
All right. I think we got a deal.
Dude, you're going to meet all of Rita's monsters.
Okay.
Now there are stakes.
They announced
now
dude,
it's got serious.
The guy, the kid, well, he was a kid back then who played Kiba Ranger in Die Ranger. They announced him as a guest. He was a kid back then. Now he's my age, and he's going to be at
so
the.
So I win either way.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching, everyone.
The White Ranger was a kid. You know the White Ranger, like Tommy became the White Ranger in our version.
Yeah.
In the Japanese show, it was a child,
and he became
and he got this
size.
Super powerful morpher, and so he would become adult size when he morphed into it. It was fucking lame, but
really?
I can tell him in person.
That'd be cool.
Right.
That's what's kind of kid. Cool. I could transform.
Well, everyone's
in
a shake on it, so.
And that hey, and that wasn't my trick.
I was ready for I was ready for that. It was a legit handshake.
No, hey, that was a legit. No, dude. I'm not fucking around.
Wow, the deal has
friends.
Been done.
We're
I'm not
friends.
Fucking around. Man, it was so
what
fun.
What are some baseball teams coming to town soon?
Oh, I mean.
Do you know?
I don't
do you
know.
Care?
No, I don't care. I'll go see whatever.
Hey, I went either way, too, because I have wanted to go. I enjoy going to the Padre game.
Oh, that sucks.
But I don't want to pay.
Ticket.
I don't want to pay for them.
Free
so,
ticket.
You know,
okay.
I'm being
punished. And you
better
believe I'm getting a Lucha Libre burrito while I'm there.
Oh, fuck. Hell yeah.
And Sean brings the fam. He doesn't
shit.
Go alone.
That's going to – I'm going to need Dreams. To take out a loan.
Yeah, on the Western Metal Building.
My family's also coming to Power Morphicon.
Or so. You know what
oh,
Robert should
no,
do? Just the
sucks.
Two of you, but it's like behind home plate, like really yeah, nice really tickets.
Okay. Those are like $300 a ticket, but free food.
Yep.
Thank you for watching. That's
gonna balance out.
That's win, worth win. Actually $300 free food.
Is it really free food?
I think so. Yeah.
Unlimited, like Diamond buffet. Club. Yeah, it's kind of like whatever you want.
Yeah, because you can go what in the thing.
Fuck?
I didn't even
that think Diamond about Club that. Up there. That's whenever yeah. I do work trips. Ooh, it's nice.
Yeah. That's, they got that's sushi in there.
It's very nice.
Fuck baseball.
They free got food. Cheese board.
Free food for $300. That's a good deal.
Fucking cheese board, man.
Hey, we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna end it here. But I want to say this week, San Diego Comic Con, we will be there. I can't believe it's this week.
Yeah.
San Diego Comic Con is excited. This week. Friday, July 20th, not June 20th, July 20th, is our panel.
Yeah.
It's the Mega 64 Ultimate Cross Franchise, Ultimate Billion Dollar Cross Franchise Team Up Panel is going to be Friday, Friday, July 20th, 8 p.m. in room 25 ABC, yep. I believe. And yeah, so it's going to be a great panel. So hope, and it's after the hall closes.
That's
you
great.
You need something to do. Come see yeah. us. And it's going to be great. But we'll be at our booth all week long. I don't say weekend because that's bullshit. It's the week. Whole week.
It's a week.
It starts Wednesday. So
yeah.
Tuesday for us.
Yeah, really.
Set up.
So, but anyway, booth 1435 is where we'll be. It is in the webcomics area because we, you know, we're your favorite webcomic. We are technically comics on the web.
That, I think that's I guess it works. That's not what that means?
No. Are we?
That was like a Penny Arcade thing.
Are we still across from our favorite neighbors? Who's been across from us the past few? What's their name?
Penny Arcade Dumbrella. Is gone. Dumbrella's gone.
Dumbrella's gone.
They're there. Oh no. Penny Arcade.
We're always right across from
Dumbrella
them.
Dumbrella changes out because they've got different artists. I think. Going
yeah, they have
through.
Different people every time. It's a
easy
collective.
To find.
But
is Killer Pumpkins still next to us?
I think they.
Hell yeah!
I hope so.
Hell yeah!
If you've never experienced Killer Pumpkins, you're missing out.
They have. A lot of paintings of a lot of pumpkins.
I can't wait to see it. I love those guys.
But anyway, it is still weird, though. I always expect... Penny Arcade was in the same spot for over a decade.
Yeah.
And then now they don't go. And it's really weird because I'm always like, oh, let me go say hi to Robert Koo and the other guy. Oh, they're selling jackets here.
It's a clothing brand.
Yeah. But, which they're actually not bad, but no, I always expect to see Penny Arcade. But anyway, we will be there. So look for the big hanging like web comics like... thing that we're right under.
I want to do a podcast question of the week.
Oh,
what is the coolest shit to go see at Comic Con? Mm-hmm. Because I go to Comic Con every year, but I just work the booth, and I'm so like wrapped up with our own stuff. Yeah. I don't even know what to check out. So maybe you can't go to Comic Con, but if you were going to Comic Con, what booth would you seek out? What panel would you go to? Email us, let us know. What should we check out? And we'll review it. You know, we'll
everyone's saying Mega 64.
Yeah. I think I know what I'm looking forward to.
I'll check that one out.
What are you
looking forward to?
I think that is Capcom gonna have Resident Evil 2 playable there?
I think they might.
I mean
they did.
They had Resident Evil 7 last time, so I think if I didn't go to E3, so and I will check out Capcom.
The whole demo experience they had at E3 was awesome.
I'll have to get there early one day.
Went through a creepy-ass room to play it.
Okay, I'm seeing Hentai VR, Rooster Teeth. Come on. I already look at that.
Yeah. But I was going to say, from my perspective, what I've always enjoyed, I've been going to Comic-Con since I was like 5, if you can believe that. My dad used to take me when it was not even at the convention center. But anyway, I like the little panels. Not the Hall H shit.
Oh, yeah.
Hall H stuff is all marketing.
That's what I'm asking
about.
But
these little...
What's the niche shit that we should go check out?
Because I remember once I went to Indiana Jones fan panel. I can't tell. Is that going to be cool or lame? What's going on with Indiana Jones? And it ended up being great. It was a guy who knew a lot about it, who's just like, hey, I throw this panel every year because I like Indiana Jones. Here's info on it. And actually, someone at Disney confirmed to me where in the timeline the ride takes place, blah, 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 blah. But then the Imagineer who worked on the Indiana Jones ride was just attending. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you some stuff. Yeah, and he just got up and talked, and it was informal. You know, it was like 20 people.
That's cool.
And it was awesome, and it was way cooler than if, you know, Hall H stuff. Sometimes that can be cool, but sometimes it's like a big commercial, you know, whatever.
I've only done Hall H like once, and that was with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that's not true. Like, back when Comic-Con was smaller, you could get in there. But really,
some of them are cool. When they did the Aliens, like, 30th anniversary, that was cool. They weren't really promoting
that's
much
the only modern
that. That was cool.
I've ever been in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the small panels is what I used to live for.
Yeah.
You just go look up a comic book that you know, something that happened to pique my interest. Oh, there's like a Bubba Hotep panel.
Yeah.
Oh, Bruce Campbell's going to be there?
Yeah.
I saw that like in a tiny, tiny room. Bruce Campbell just hosting this big panel about his new movie at the time was Bubba Hotep. But it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, so the little panels are pretty cool sometimes. There would be panels for everything. There would be like Little Lulu panel Friday at 3 p.m. It's like Little Lulu.
Aquabats panel was awesome that one.
Yeah, that was cool too. Yeah.
Yeah, Pachuco Boy panel.
Fuck yeah. Yeah,
hell yeah. They had a booth last year. Yeah. I think did we talk about that?
We did.
They're coming
we are
soon.
So far over. So we are. Good night.
No wait, I got to
No fuck off.
Mega 64 Archives. We've got a brand new Metal Gear Solid Poorly Played stream up, as well as Frank's Last Game Standing.
I played Persona 5. We talked about it for an hour. Good shit.
Yeah, even though Sean isn't interested in the work that Frank and I do around here.
I didn't know.
It's my time right now, Sean. Sorry. But please check out the rest of the MGS Summer stream.
You got to talk World Cup.
Brian and I are going to be taking on the rest of Metal Gear Solid, and we'll see you Wednesdays at 7 p.m., baby. Mwah.
There should be a podcast next week. We're going to try... We'll be doing Comic-Con, but it's in San Diego, so we're going to try to race back here and do a live show. So hopefully we'll be back here next week. And we'll see.
All right. Good night.